Kenzie bringing her friends in. She brings you always to the front row, doesn't she? Her parents are way back there, but she brings you her friends to the front row. I like that. As Rick mentioned in his introduction to the scripture reading, we're going to look at the hazards of faith. Some things that Paul warned Timothy about that can happen to your faith that are not always good. I remember when I was a youngster, wasn't that long ago. But I just remember many times when we would say goodbye to each other when we were leaving the church building, we'd say goodbye, but we'd always add, keep the faith. Keep the faith. That was just a phrase we would use. It just meant hang in there. It just meant walk the talk, as we say. Or it just means, you know, stay on God's side. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. You know, it's just as surely as one may be converted from sin to Christ, just as surely that one may go back and walk in the old path. So Paul gives a warning to Timothy. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, the lesson looks at Paul's warning to Timothy that there are hazards to our faith. There are warnings that need to be said over and over again. Paul does that just in one letter. 5 times he gives a warning that, about the dangers that can take place concerning our faith. You know, the Bible says, you know, with these things that Paul says, they're not to be applauded. These warnings are not, Paul is not saying, oh, attaboy. Paul is not saying, oh, these things are okay. No, he's given a warning. Remember the Apostle Paul, when it was close to the time of his departure, he said, I've run the course, finished the race. You know, I've kept the faith, kept the faith. He said, other places we walk by faith. Peter mentions, you know, about the securing the end of our faith. So these warnings are appropriate because many times when we walk by faith, there might be an obstacle or a distraction or something that will cause us to turn back from the faith. So Paul gives a warning. You know, warnings are natural. You know, we even see sometimes on television if something dangerous takes place, they'll say, don't do this at home. See warnings on product labels. We see warnings at the railroad crossing where they let you know danger's coming. You got the bells, the lights, the whistles, the arm comes down, the trolley or the train blows the horn. Gives you plenty of warning. Careful. Watch out. Boy, we have the things on the freeways, the overhead signs. Watch out for if there's something that's going on up ahead. Be careful. So now here are 5 warnings from the Apostle Paul to the young man Timothy. Be careful about your faith and warn others. So in your notes, I put these 5 warnings that are listed. I hope you received if you want to follow along. But 1, your faith can be shipwrecked. I'm going to dash my faith on the rocks. Faith can be shipwrecked. 2, some can depart from the faith. Just leave. 3, faith can be denied. We stop letting folks know to whom side, to whom we belong and on whose side we stand. Faith can be denied. Some have strayed from the faith. And then number five, some have strayed concerning the faith. Wow. Let's take a look at each of these in turn this morning. Number one, when you know faith can be shipwrecked. Here's the verse in its entirety. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning of verse 18. Paul says, "This charge I commit unto you, Timothy." Paul says, "Timothy, I want you to sit up and take notice. There's a charge, there's a command, there's an obligation." Paul said, "Timothy, take note. This charge I commit to you, Timothy, according to the prophecies which led the way to you, that by them you may war the good warfare." Well, Brother Rose, when he preaches and when he teaches class, this is a common theme in his lessons. There's a battle that's going on in our life, a struggle. Paul said, "Timothy, there's a warfare concerning your faith." And he says, "War the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience." And then there's an uh-oh. "Which some, having put away concerning faith," and they've made shipwreck their faith. Wow. In verse 20, he mentions two people by name. Hymenaeus and Alexander. Paul was going to write me a letter, or write a letter to the congregation. "Don't call me by name if you don't have something good to say." Mm-hmm. But he's saying, Hymenaeus and Alexander, when this letter is read to the congregation, what do you think these two are going to think? And then he tells them exactly what's wrong with them. They put away their faith. In other words, they stopped studying God's word. They didn't put their faith into practice. These two left all that characterizes faith. Instead of holding faith, they put their faith on hold. They weren't fighting the fight. They were guilty of blaspheming. They were railing at God's word. They were speaking contempt toward God's word and toward Christianity. They shipwrecked their faith. They just took their faith and dashed it against the rocks. They took themselves out of service. They shipwrecked their faith. You get a picture of that? A ship on the rocks. He says, that's what you did to your faith. When you put faith on hold and don't continue and are not faithful, you've crashed your faith, is the illustration that Paul uses. Mm. Faith can be shipwrecked. Mm. Oh, crashed. Y'all know. Some, even in this congregation over the years, they're like these two that Paul mentions. They were once zealous, but now these brethren are indifferent. I've known some brethren in the congregation who were once faithful, but now they're unfaithful. I've known some in this congregation that were working for the right, and now they're serving wrong. They shipwrecked their faith. And that's not applauded. You say, you don't get an attaboy. They crashed their faith. They've ignored all the exhortation. They've ignored all the prayers. They've ignored the pleadings. Crashed their faith. So don't give up. Don't stop Bible study. Don't stop worship assembly. Don't do that. Don't stop fellowship, friendship. When you do that, you've just crashed your faith. Some say, "Oh, if I visit them or try to give them a word of encouragement, they say, 'Oh, Brian, I haven't crashed my faith. I still have faith.'" And I'll go to them and I'll say, "Well, let me ask you this question. If you did crash your faith, what would you do differently than what you're doing now?"
You're not in Bible study. You're not in the worship assembly. You're not praying for the brethren. You're not involved in ministry. What would you do differently if you did decide to crash your faith? So Paul gives a warning. Don't do that. Don't do that. Number two, he says, some shall depart or fall away from the faith. Here's the text in its entirety. It was read partly to our in our lesson this morning in our scripture reading. 1 Timothy 4, beginning of verse 1. Says the Spirit says expressly. That means exactly. Well, the Spirit is not wishy-washy in this. The Spirit says this expressly, without a doubt. He says that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. They'll give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and these false teachers, they'll speak lies and hypocrisy. They'll have their conscience seared as with a hot iron. In other words, there'll be some people that will depart from the faith. Their conscience can't reach them. Or it's difficult. It's seared over. It's calloused. Oh my. He departed from the faith. You see, Paul is saying there are some doctrines that will take you away. Some doctrines will take you away. Now, Jesus warned in Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets. Prophets that are false. Yeah. Jesus warned it. I always appreciate, again, going back to what Vernon says. He doesn't miss, Brother Rose doesn't miss words, that these prophets are sheep, are in clothing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 31, he said, begins with the question, Jesus said, why? Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? False prophets. That you've made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. He says in verse 9, he said, in vain do you worship me. Well, wait a minute. Jesus, they're worshiping you. Yeah, but Jesus said, oh, but it's in vain. It's not working for you. Vain do you worship me. You're teaching for a doctrine, a commandment of men. Departed from the faith? Yeah, there'll be false teachers going after wrong things. Paul warned in Acts chapter 20, beginning of verse 29, he says, I know. Paul, what are some of the last words you have before you leave this world? What do you want to say to the congregation? He says, I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you. They'll not spare the flock. And also from among your own selves, he says, men shall arise, they'll speak perverse things to draw away the disciples. Oh, it's possible for you to be drawn away from your faith, to depart from the faith. Wow. So Paul tells Timothy with a warning, there's a hazard to faith. You can be drawn away from it. Be drawn away from it. Number three, faith can be denied. Can be denied. This one's just practical Christian living text. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning of verse 7, says, these things also command. All right, listen up. Command. Paul said, Timothy, command these things, that you may be without reproach. But if any provide not for his own, especially his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. So this denial of faith in this text is portrayed by failing to live up to our Christian obligations within our physical family. And I just put two things in your notes that I think this might have application. Number one, I've denied the faith if I fail to teach my children, our children, the Word of God. I haven't provided for my family spiritual things. That's a given, isn't it? I've denied the faith if I don't teach my children God's word. But second, the physical things that we give our children. I've denied my faith if I haven't provided for our children. And we do. Parents provide for their children because they can't provide for themselves. You know, from the beginning. There's labor laws. I can't send them out when they're 3 or 4 years old. Say, work it out. Earn your living. Earn your keep. Can't do that. It doesn't work that way. And then eventually, you know, when the situation might be reversed, instead of me taking, or us parents taking care of children, children might have to take care of parents. I remember my older brother died when he was 33 years old, and he was born with hydrocephalus. And so my parents had to take care of him. He stayed at home his whole life, so died at 33 in his sleep. I remember my dad's dad, my grandfather, had a stroke in his old age, and we had to take it. They brought him into the house. I remember Christine's parents, when they were old and feeble, very old and feeble, they moved in with us to take care of them. Then when her dad died, then we took care of Christine's mom for 3 more years because she had Alzheimer's dementia. Provide for your family. You have it, especially your own household. One of my favorite stories years and years ago, I remember when Dennis and Susan Burchett, Susan's mother, Leela, was very old and feeble, so they took her into their home when they had the house down the corner across from Southwest High School. So they made their living room a bedroom for Leela, Susan's mom. Put her bed right by the big picture window that looked out onto the street, and you know, the curtain, so she could watch all the kids come and go and just enjoy that view. And so I asked Christine one time, I said, Will you do that for me? And she says, sure, if Dennis and Susan will have you. And then she added, and then she said, and I'll visit you too. Then he provided not for his own, especially his own household. Denied the faith. It's worse than an infidel. Then number 4, he speaks of some that have erred from the faith. Have erred from the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 7, we brought nothing into the world. And it's certain we carry nothing out. Yeah. Have food and raiment, let's be content. Yeah. But they that be rich, oh, my hand goes up. That's me. I'm well blessed. I'm blessed. We are. But the rich fall into a temptation and a snare. Uh-oh. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, and they drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, there's the key phrase, they've erred or wandered away from the faith. They've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But then Paul doesn't leave it there. Paul says, but Timothy, give them a warning. It's in beginning of verse 17. Charge them that are rich, yeah, in the world, those of us that have the treasure, that they don't be high-minded. He didn't say throw away your treasure. He didn't say become poor. He just said when you're well-blessed, when you've done well, just don't be high-minded. Don't trust in the riches that are uncertain, but do good. Godly, all things to enjoy. I want to enjoy the treasure, but I also want to, don't take it with a closed hand. I want to do good. I want to be also rich in good works, ready to distribute. See, the message is don't allow your treasure, your blessings, to push God out of the picture. That's his message. So much that there's no room for God. That's crazy. Don't do that. Jesus gives a similar warning, a lesson on priority in Luke 12, verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. No. And then he adds to it in verse 21, to the foolish man. He says, don't lay up for yourselves just treasures on earth and not be rich toward God. It's okay to have a treasure. God's blessed me with talent, opportunity, enough to provide for family, for the household. Covet that. Be rich toward God, too.
Yeah.
Be rich toward God. I didn't put this one in, but it's verse, I think it's Ephesians 4:28. Put this on pause for a second. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, that he may have. I'm going to labor so that I... But it doesn't stop there. That he may have unto him that is in need. Yeah. God, thank you for talent, for opportunity. Thank you for blessing me. Look for others who are in need. I want to be not only have the treasure myself, but I want to be rich toward God. Rich toward God. The last one, number five. Burn on that. I got sidetracked. I got number five. Some professing have erred concerning the faith. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. Said, oh, Timothy. Already said four things to Timothy. Now he said, Timothy, there's one more thing. One more. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Yeah, keep it. Hang on to your faith. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science that's falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. The cause of the error concerning faith, you're going after a false knowledge. You're grasping an unproved theory. Oh. Paul continues with his warning to Timothy. Again, for the time will come, you'll not endure sound doctrine. But after your own lust, you'll keep heap to yourselves a teacher, having itching ears, and you'll turn away your ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know what a vain, profane, and vain babblings are? You know what science, falsely so-called, is? It's when people turn to clairvoyance, or palmists, or mystics, or spiritualists, or astrology, or witchcraft. Here's what the Bible says. In Exodus 22, verse 18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. These are in your notes. Leviticus 19, verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I'm the Lord your God. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits, and you go after wizards, you go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and I'll cut him off among the people. Leviticus 20, verse 27. A man also or a woman that has a familiar spirit, or that's a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Isaiah 47, verse 9. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children, widowhood. They shall come upon you in their perfection for the multitude of your sorceries and for the great abundance of your enchantments. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, when you come into the land which the Lord God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or a sayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spirits, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispose listened to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. So Paul gives a warning concerning faith. Avoid profane and vain babblings and the oppositions of science, falsely so-called. But some professing that have erred concerning the faith. So these are the warnings that you have, that you have in your notes. Paul gives five warnings, five hazards of faith. Don't do that. Jesus gave a lesson in John chapter 6, beginning of verse 66. Jesus taught some hard sayings. And that's what the people said. They said, Jesus, that's a hard saying. And so many of his disciples left. They left Jesus. They left him. They left him. So Jesus turns to them and said, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Great question. Great question. If you leave your faith, to what will you go? Peter then answered correctly, you have the words of eternal life. And Lord, we believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God. That's our faith. That's our faith. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're subject to it. The last words of Jesus before he left. You always want to say, Jesus, what do you have to say before you go? In Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 18, he says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He has all the authority. Go and make disciples of all the nations. How are you going to make disciples? Baptizing them by heavenly authority in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them continued education. Keep the faith. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't leave anybody out. Tell everybody. He that believes, that's our faith, and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said, I want a salvation message preached to all the world. He that believes, and is baptized shall be saved. Well, let's stand together. We'll sing a song that we selected for us. Again, it's a song of invitation, a song of exhortation, a song of encouragement. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this morning. Just simply let it be known at the close of this song.